What do I do if I have a premarital separate property interest in my 401k, but I cannot locate the records? So tracing issues when 401k account statements are not available are a major problem, for sure. There are no standards for requiring plans to maintain records when plan administrators switch, which is a frequent problem in my office. For example, let's say at date of marriage, the account holder's accounts were managed by Non Hewitt, okay, a big company that manages a lot of different accounts. And then, you know, by date of separation, however, it was managed by Fidelity. If you direct Fidelity to produce the records back to date of separation, they're not going to have them. In other words, Fidelity doesn't take over the records from the prior administrator and maintain them. So especially if you have mergers with companies or just record holder switches that just happen from time to time, you're going to have to subpoena or contact multiple entities to get that account history. Now, some clients wonder, well, why do I need all that? You know, why can't I just produce the one statement from date of marriage and then, you know, the one statement from date of separation? You just knock it off the top. And my response to that is, well, if you'd like a 0% rate of return on your separate property money from before marriage, you certainly can do that. I don't think your ex is going to object to that, but you're really shooting yourself in the foot. You know, it is incorrect. It is not correct to say that a $10,000 account balance from date of marriage is still worth $10,000 at date of separation. It's probably worth $12,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 because it's invested in the stock market, and the stock market goes up and down in value. And in many states, including California, you are allowed to the gains, dividends, reinvestments, etc., on your separate property money from before marriage, okay? So what do you do if you just can't find the records? You know, some companies have document destruction policies that are hugely problematic. Well, first of all, you know, what I tell my clients is, look, you're trying to solve a puzzle, okay? And so just start by getting as many puzzle pieces as you can. So start with, pull your Social Security reports, okay? If you pull your Social Security reports, you can find out how much you made every single year. And if you consistently contributed 3% of your gross income a year and there was a 3% matching program, that's a great start. Especially if you have a cooperative ex who says, you know, I do recall that is what we did, and it was sort of automatic, just came out of the paycheck. And that's one way to at least get a ballpark of, well, what did I contribute during the marriage? What did I contribute before the marriage? And how do I piece together sort of an estimate of what money's in my account now while I'm getting divorced? The source was prior to marriage and the source was during marriage. So grab your Social Security reports. Subpoenas of employers can work. Oftentimes employers are lazy. And so you ask for the records and they say, we don't have it. And then you do a subpoena and magically in-house counsel for the company locates the records or directs you where it's from. In addition to Social Security reports, you pull some tax returns, okay? So the difference between the Medicare taxable wages and the gross taxable wages, which can be seen on the W-2 statement, is going to be, most of the time, the contribution that is made to the retirement account. So if you have a complete history of your tax returns, as many individuals do, you can see what you contributed in what years during the course of the marriage. Now, that's not the end of the analysis, okay? That's the employee contribution. You got to make sure to look up the plan policies and procedures or ask your employer, what were your matching programs in those years? And then add the matching in, which is not from the employer side contribution, which is not going to be reflected on those W-2 statements. And so you got to add that in together to figure out what was contributed in those years. Another way to do it, if you have cooperative spouses, this is sort of the guesstimate approach, is you pick a rate of return. You just say, you know what, X spouse, on date of marriage, I had 10 grand. I don't have all the records, but cross my heart, hope to die, I had 10 grand. Can we call it a 6% rate of return? And then your quadro attorney can plug it in into an amortization calculator. I use the program T-Value. I know that some of my colleagues use the same. Of course, you don't need it. There's many calculators out there for a 6% rate of return. And you just simply grow it to data separation, and then you say, you know what, this is close enough. Life's not perfect. Divorce is messy business. And, 6% rate of return, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. We got two adults that agree with each other. Great. Let's solve the problem. The trouble is when you're getting divorced, a lot of times you don't agree with your ex. You know, one of the reasons you get divorced is you don't see eye to eye anymore. And the Soprani case, which came out recently in the last couple of years, basically said that the California doesn't adopt a specific way to determine sort of these tracing issues. The court can utilize any sort of rational and logical means that are available to them to come up with the conclusion. So when I going back to my puzzle analogy, if you are the account holder and you're trying to prove your separate property, okay, and you got an ex that says, nah, your memory's faulty, you never had any separate property, the whole account is community, I want half of everything. You going up in the stand and saying and telling the judge in tears, no, I swear I had money in there, is not as good as you going up on the stand and saying, Your Honor, I had money in there. Here's a copy of my Social Security records. Here is a copy of a random record I have that shows I made the 3% contribution. Here's a copy of a tax return that says, at least in these years, I made contributions. You got a lot more puzzle pieces on the table, okay? And what I always tell my clients is I say, okay, you gave me all the puzzle pieces. It's a 1,000-piece puzzle. And, you gave me 900 pieces. Not everything's there, but I see some web feet over here, a beak over here, some feathers over here. It looks like a duck. We're going to call it a duck, okay? And it's more likely a duck than a frog, okay? So it's more likely that you had community property and separate property. It's more likely that you had separate property in there than not that you didn't have any separate property in there. So you're more likely to substantiate and get credit for that separate property than, you know, the account holder over in this case who doesn't produce anything and just sheds some tears on the sand as their evidence that they had money in the account before marriage. So it's important to note that you don't just throw up your hands and say, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to give up my separate property interests. You gather the records. The other thing you can do, and it's sort of a last resort, but it is used from time to time, is you do what's called a time rule formula. It's not ideal for these sort of defined contribution accounts, 401k accounts. It's more suitable for a pension plan, but it works like this. Okay, so I was married to my ex for 10 years. And, I work for my employer for 20 years. So 10 years before marriage, I work for my employer. 10 years during marriage, I work for my employer. So I have a 20-year work history. And somehow I prove that from day one, I started contributing to this account. Well, the time rule formula says basically, well, 10 years divided by 20 years is 50% of the time. So we're going to say 50% of that account is community property. Community property is divided in half, and so X gets 25% of the account as their community interest. I get 25% as my community interest. And then the other half of the account we're going to call separate property because I have proof that I worked 10 years and contributed for 10 years before marriage, even though I can't prove exactly how much I contributed. So that's another method that at least can, an argument that can be made before the court better than throwing up your hands and saying, oh, well, I can't prove it. I guess my ex gets half of everything.